The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is Keenan Allen, and you're listening to Roster Watch. Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the epic Roster Watch podcast brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, here today with, of course, the Trash Man on this eve of I guess it's not the eve of 4th of July weekend. That's tomorrow. I'm getting the hell out of here. I'm headed to the lake tomorrow to celebrate America, Trash Man.
I'm celebrating today, I guess.
Yeah, nice shirt, bro. Brother, you look terrific. A real patriot.
I love America more than any country in the world. And that for exactly that reason, I insist on the right to criticize her perpetually. That's James Baldwin, yo.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that everybody agrees. We certainly wish everybody out there a happy 4th of July and to hope everybody's healthy and happy and safe. And of course, we hope that you are watching on YouTube, Periscope. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, if you could please give a 5-star rating and review, that would be greatly helpful. We're super excited about all the new listeners and viewers that we're getting these days. Trash Man, it might have to do with these shitty topics that are given to us by people that don't even give a shit about football or fantasy football. Literally, topics are given to us by a guy in our company that doesn't know shit about fantasy.
It feels like Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah.
Except for fantasy topics.
It's just crazy. So you chose that today we'll talk about early round or what early values. So you've come up with a few early values we'll go over. But before we do that, I wanted to dive into a little bit of wide receiver strength of schedule. You and I talked last time. I'd gotten about halfway through the tool available to our pro members at rosterwatch.com. And we talked about some of the guys with good schedules. I thought today we could talk about some of the players with bad schedules as far as wide receivers. And when we get into that tool, we'll talk about our methodology for how we create it and what goes into the thought process for making it. But first, I wanted to talk about just some of these news and notes. Not really too much going on. There were a couple of things that you mentioned, Trash Man. Going to Roto World here, there's a blurb about Le'Veon Bell saying that the Athletic's Connor Hughes reports that Le'Veon Bell
working
is
working out like a madman.
Yeah, I don't know how much I trust the Athletic's Connor Hughes.
The fact that he's working out at all. Means
that guy's
a giant.
That guy's a giant fucking fanboy for the team. That guy ran like Jets blog.
Hey, that means he may not be a Le'Veon Bell fan.
Well, that could be true. Here's what it says on Roto World. It's unclear if Hughes is basing this assertion more on Bell's Instagram stories, but nevertheless, Bell is smarting after a disastrous 2019. Smarting means tilting. He's tilting after a disastrous 2019. It saw him look like a shell of his former self, blah, blah. So they're saying that they don't know whether this is Connor Hughes just basing it on fucking Instagram stories or what else. It's just more, what do you think of this, Trash Man? Is it a pseudo event, fake news? What do you think?
Hey, like I said, if there are rumors that Le'Veon Bell is working out, that's good enough for me.
What do you think about Le'Veon Bell if you can get him in the fourth round of your draft, which you can?
I think that's very great often. Value.
It really is.
I mean, can you imagine saying that 3 years ago? 2 years ago.
Well, but you know, this is a young man's game, Trash Man. I mean,
it's not even really based on the fact that he's a young man. Do you really think he's lost that much of his step?
Yeah. Well, no, but I think that his offensive line's not any. I love that the Jets drafted Mekhi Becton. I think that they've done some things along the offensive line, but it's just like you go from Pittsburgh to where he could. Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh developed a signature running style that he sort of needs a killer offensive line to be able to recreate. Do you not agree? That sort of dance behind the line.
I don't necessarily agree. I mean, but he can create his own lanes. He works well in space.
He sure as fuck didn't create any lanes last year. He created a lot of headaches for fantasy.
You could argue that he wasn't healthy last year.
You can argue anything. Is that completely true?
Was he not healthy?
Was he out of shape? Well, no one that fuck, man. It's like we can just make shit up and say you can argue it.
You can argue that he was having personal problems
last season, Trash Man.
He didn't look like himself. I know that much.
You can argue that he was going through severe mental health issues in his
second year in this offense with a quarterback who's got his legs under him. You know, an offensive line that you say has been improved by a modicum.
I'm just saying. You can argue anything if you make up some lie. You don't know if that's true. Like, who knows if he was hurt? It's like saying you can argue he was going through mental health disability last year, that he was going through a tough time. You can argue he was going through a tough time financially.
Hey, we can argue that. Maybe there'll be a regression to the mean. He's done amazing every other year that he's been a starting running back in the NFL. So,
Trash Man, do you just answer me this. Do you not agree that Le'Veon Bell has a very, very recognizable and signature running style?
Yes.
How would you describe it?
I would describe it – well, it's signatures. I would describe it like Le'Veon Bell. I would decide it like magic in motion.
What I understand that with the final presentation of is magic in motion, but break it down into pieces behind the line of scrimmage and then into the actual running of the football. Is there anything you kind of notice? It's the patience. It's the way that he dances behind the line. He waits for the lanes to develop. That's how he was successful in Pittsburgh. He created a style that was, I mean, you could look at Joe Mixon. You could tell that Joe Mixon's running style has been influenced by Le'Veon Bell. It's very, very, very specific.
And maybe Bell.
I'm not sure it works behind that shitty Jets offensive line.
Listen, maybe he feels a little more comfortable in his second year there behind that line.
I think he's a value too. I think it's because of the touches. And I think it's cockamamie to assert that
Do you think the offense has improved or regressed? I would say the offense has probably improved.
Why? Because Darnold's a year older and the offensive line has been helped a slight bit. They've lost their best wide receiver in Robbie Anderson.
And they gained maybe their best wide receiver in Denzel Mims.
Oh, that's true. I thought you were going to say Breshad Perriman, and I was going to shoot myself in the head. Okay. So Le'Veon Bell, best shape of his life. Connor Hughes says that he is working out like a madman. That's Connor Hughes, who's been, as far as I can tell, a huge Jets fan on Twitter before he ever got a job.
Hey, you got to be a Jets fan if you want to write about the Jets.
I'm sure. Debo Samuel, just a bunch of this news from The Athletic's Matt Barrows, I guess from his recent 49ers mailbag. He considers Trent Taylor to place third on the 49ers in receptions behind George Kittle and Debo Samuel. That again via The Athletic, via Roto World. I don't know. I mean, are they just
does he know that they drafted Brandon Ayuk?
Yeah. I don't know. But it does go to show, like, before the injury last year to Trent Taylor, he was a dude that we were, you know, considering being interested in, at least as a deep dynasty stash. I'm beginning to think, you know, now with this new news, Debo Samuel is dealing with a classic Jones fracture. So that looks more like a 10. yeah, a 10 to 12 week, then a 12 to 16 is initially reported. Now that gets us down to a pretty close. Let's see. What is today? We're 4th of July weekend.
I don't think they'll rush Deebo Samuel back. It may be it may be George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, and Trent Taylor. Either way, Trent Taylor could end up being the number three.
No, I agree. So could Brandon Ayuk, or Brandon Ayuk could be the number two.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, so Byron and I had this discussion yesterday. Just if I were to ask you at the end of your draft, you could either have N'Keal Harry with Cam Newton throwing him the football now, or you could have Brandon Ayuk. Which one would you take?
N'Keal Harry.
Why?
I think better touchdown equity.
Well, I got bad news for you, Trash Man. He has the second worst schedule of any wide receiver in the top 75 ADP wise. So let's just go ahead and get into that. Let's go ahead and go over those guys. Of course, you can find the cheat sheet at rosterwatch.com along with all of our other tools that we talk about here. I'll just pull up just so you guys can see the format here of this tool. I'll just pull it up to where you can see some of the guys with the worst schedules. But for everybody listening on the podcast, all I'm doing here is I'm just showing what the wide receiver cornerback visualization tool sort of looks like here. And you can see I've gone through and I projected the corner that will be facing each wide receiver for the projected plurality of his snaps in each of these games. Should these guys stay healthy and cumulative score has been assigned to these guys. The higher the score, the easier the projected cornerback matchup. You can see as we go down here, the scores get worse and worse, and you start seeing more and more red and pink here along the bottom. And so we're going to talk about the guys here at the very bottom. These are the guys that we project as having the worst matchups from week to week. And we'll go over the top five worst matchups or worst cumulative matchups. But before we do that, Trash Man, I'll give just the top three runners up. So this will be the top eight. You can give me your quick thought on this. Keenan Allen, the eighth worst out of the top 75 as far as wide receiver ADP. Your thoughts on that, especially considering the fact that we rarely ever get slot corners with tough schedules, especially this tough. It's just the Keenan Allen faces a bunch of really tough slot corners and a bunch of really tough slot defenders, most specifically.
It doesn't matter to me.
Why?
He had a down year last season and still had a great year compared to most wide receivers. I feel like he's a safety blanket for Tyrod Taylor. I feel like that position that he plays in the offense, I don't worry too much about Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen, you say he was okay. I didn't realize he was wide receiver eight on the season last year.
Yeah, and he had a down PPR season.
No, he did. But 104 catches for 1,200 yards and six touchdowns. That's nothing to sneeze at. Where was he as far as targets? He was sixth in targets last season. Those targets are going to have to come down, though, right?
Maybe.
You think Tyrod's going to pepper him quite as much?
I mean,
Philip Rivers loves targeting
the slot. I don't think Tyrod Taylor has a worse arm than Philip Rivers at this point in their careers.
Not last year, but Philip Rivers did really love targeting the slot.
And I think Tyrod Taylor loved targeting Keenan Allen.
I heard somebody talking about, as I was going through this, it's something I hadn't thought about before, but as you project Paris Campbell, we project him to play in the slot. Philip Rivers to Paris Campbell. I think somebody's talking about that on our friend Matt Kelly's podcast, the Road to Wonderworld pod. I wish I could give him credit.
He was my dark horse in his rookie season to lead rookie receivers. It didn't work out injury wise, but there's a lot to like about Paris Campbell.
Paris Campbell falling right in the middle of the pack as far as his slot receiver matchups on the season. He's going to have to face some of these guys he's got some tough ones just in conference. He has to go against.
He's an exceptional athlete though.
That's the thing. He has to go against like DJ Hayden, who's like a tough, pretty tough matchup as far as slot corners are concerned. Same with Brian Poole, Buster Screen. But the problem is those guys are nowhere near as fast as Paris Campbell. So after Keenan Allen, DeAndre Hopkins, super tough schedule, man. Do you worry about him at all? From weeks 9 to week 12 is really where it's the murderer's row. Without Byron Jones, Tre'Davious White, either Quentin Dunbar or Shaquille Griffin, and then Stephon Gilmore. And then in your championship weekend, DeAndre Hopkins will surely get Richard Sherman week 16. Your thoughts about that?
I would worry about it more if Hop was more of an outside receiver, but he can play all over the field. And I feel like, to the quarterback situation there, I feel like with Kyler Murray, he's gonna improvise more, come out of the pocket more. I feel like there's gonna be more opportunities for both him and Hopkins. I don't really see it being
the sheer number of plays, the sheer volume makes you not that worried about DeAndre Hopkins. With that said, I think that
and Hopkins had a down year in 2019 too.
Yeah. I mean, look, man. They're going to use him. He's one of the best wide receivers in the league, and we know that they run a high volume plays. Cliff Kingsbury has had a whole another.
He might be the best wide receiver in the league when Antonio Brown's not in it.
That's Michael Thomas. But I think DeAndre Hopkins. I mean,
Do you think Michael Thomas is as dynamic a player as DeAndre Hopkins?
He just catches. He's the most effective wide receiver in the league. He's one of the most effective wide receivers the league's ever seen.
He's extremely efficient.
Yeah, and effective. What else do you want? What else do you want?
I'm saying if you needed to get 25 yards out of somebody, I would rather put my money on DeAndre Hopkins and Michael.
If your aunt had it, you know what? And you know the story. Like, it's like, we don't always need to. All right. Right outside of the top five, Henry Ruggs with a brutally tough schedule. If we're going to be considering the number one sort of alpha outside wide receiver for the Oakland Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, which I do. Do you consider him the coming in and automatically being the number one and projecting that way as far as the corners that he'll face?
As much as there can be a number one receiver in a Derek Carr-led offense.
All right, fair enough. Here we get into the bottom five, and we'll just talk about them. Thankfully, the fifth worst schedule here on the board we have for Courtland Sutton. The way that I've said is like, look, Jerry Judy's great. I think Jerry Judy's going to play out of the slot. I think he's going to play outside, but I think Courtland Sutton's going to play outside, and he's going to, Courtland Sutton actually got shadowed quite a bit last year. I don't know if he'll get shadowed this year as much because teams could be worried about Jerry Judy, and they could, we'll have to see how all that works. But certainly we kind of consider him the number one, or at least the 1A, and Judy the 1B, at least to start. And so if we're projecting it like that, we're projecting Judy to be mainly on the outside as well. What we do is we either put the better corner on Sutton, or we look and see who's shadowed in the past, or we just look at body types and see who's, because Sutton's a little bit bigger, right? So we go with the bigger guy on Sutton.
I think that's how most people would approach that.
This is just tough for him. He'll face either in week one, he'll either get Malcolm Butler or Adoree Jackson. It's hard to tell which one. Both those guys are, Adoree Jackson's probably a little bit tougher of a matchup. Then he'll get Joe Hayden with the Steelers, Carlton Davis with the Bucks, who's actually kind of good. Pierre Desir, who kind of not as good. He's with the Jets now, but
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
A bigger guy, a little bit easier to body up. The next two gets real tough. Stephon Gilmore, Byron Jones. If he doesn't get Byron Jones, he'll get Xavier Howard, who people are back and forth about there with the Dolphins. But I think probably you get Byron Jones on Courtland Sutton in this situation. He'll get Tre'Darious Ward. Then he'll have his bye week. Then after the bye week, he'll get Isaiah Oliver for the Falcons. That should be a very rare, easy matchup for him. Then after that, Prince Amukamara, Casey Hayward, Marcus Lattimore. He ends his season with Tre'Davious White and then Casey Hayward again. So that's brutal. That's a brutal schedule for Courtland Sutton. I was already worried with KJ Hamler coming in there. I was already worried with Jerry Jeudy coming in there. I was already worried with Albert O coming in there. I was already worried with Noah Fant left this season. I was already worried with Melvin Gordon coming in, knowing what he can do as a receiving threat out of the backfield. I mean, I love Courtland Sutton as a prospect. I don't know if I could be taking him in the fourth, fifth round, wherever he's going right now. If it was somebody,
he's
going
to be touchdown dependent.
Yeah. I mean, how interested are you in a touchdown dependent Courtland Sutton, where you have to take him at current ADP whenever you know that this is tough, dude? It's like, this is a tough, tough schedule. And can we really say that Drew Lock's that? I'm not sure that Drew Lock's that good.
Drew Lock is the biggest question there.
All right. We got James Kenny in the comments saying, tough schedule, new QB chemistry. Think you need to worry more about DeAndre Hopkins. And that's the thing. On the cheat sheet, wide receivers going to new teams, that's a whole,
DeAndre Hopkins had one of his best seasons ever in a year where he played with TJ Yates, Brandon Whedon, who was some other shithead.
It wasn't Osweiler, was it?
No, it
was someone bad.
I think he played with at least three, maybe four quarterbacks that season. One of his best years.
I can't believe I can't think of that third quarterback that year.
Brandon Whedon, TJ Yates, and I can't think of the third guy.
That's fine. Okay. The fourth worst schedule via the proprietary strength of schedule tool at RosterWatch.com for our pro members, the 2020 wide receiver matchup projection visualization tool available in your download section. Your boy Stephon Diggs, trash man, a guy that we were already worried about anyway, going from a decent situation to a much worse one in Buffalo.
Is it much worse? That's arguable.
I don't think it's worse. I mean,
do you think Josh Allen is a better or worse quarterback than Kirk Cousins
in fantasy? Fantasy is much better. He runs for 8 touchdowns or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if the quarterback situation is improving and Stephon Diggs is.
No. The fantasy quarterback situation is improving, which in turn, but via the way that Josh Allen scores his fantasy points, could maybe take points off the table for Stephon Diggs. He'll tuck the ball and run it. It's not going to gun it in there to Stephon Diggs like Kirk Cousins would have.
I would argue that Josh Allen is shaping up to be a better NFL quarterback than Kirk Cousins. I don't really buy that he's going to be in a much worse situation.
It's going to be a lot worse. And John Brown's there. He'll have Pierre Desir.
Adam Thielen was there.
Jalen Ramsey, Prince Mukamura, Malcolm Butler, Tre'Davious Ward, Stephon Gilmore, Shaquille Griffin, Patrick Peters, and Casey Hayward, Richard Sherman, Joe Hayden, AJ Bouye, Stephon Gilmore.
Who do you think gets targeted more, Adam Thielen or John Brown in any offense?
This year? John Brown. Sure. John Brown will get doubled in targets by Adam Thielen this year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, oh, and even in the past, I just don't see how there's going to be that. Why you think there's going to be that big of a drop off for Stephon Diggs just because Josh Allen likes to run the ball sometimes?
Okay, let's see. Last year, Josh Allen 461 attempts. Last year. Kirk Cousins, yeah, you're right, 444. So Josh Allen actually attempted more passes last year. We forget that Kirk Cousins, and that's something we need to remember, too, about Stefanski coming to the James Kenny coming through with it, Tom something or another. It was Tom Savage.
Tom Savage.
That's who it was. Thank you. You forget Kirk Cousins was low volume last year, too. Now, will they stay as low volume this year? We're not sure.
Depends if Dalvin Cook is their running back or not.
Okay. Okay. Well, I mean, you've talked me into maybe not being as down on Stephon Diggs. Still not interested. Still not interested. The third worst schedule, Robert Woods of the Los Angeles Rams. Just when you kind of thought you're getting a discount on Robert Woods, you see his schedule sucks. We kind of talked about him last time, but any extra thoughts today?
I mean, it was the second half of his season last year that he came on. What does it look like this year for him as far as schedule? I mean,
so he doesn't start out easy. He starts – all right, Chidobe Awuzie, this borderline – maybe he's good. I mean, do you think Chidobe Awuzie is good? Cowboys thought he was decent enough to let fucking Byron Jones go. Then he'll get Darius Slay, Tre'Davious White, James Bradbury. He'll get Fabian Moreau, who's a little bit of an easier matchup. After that, he'll get Richard Sherman, Kyle Fuller, Byron Jones, bye week, Quentin Dunbar / Shaquille Griffin, Carlton Davis, Richard Sherman again, Patrick Peterson, Stephon Gilmore, Pierre Desir, then again, either Shaquille Griffin or Quentin Dunbar. That's fucking brutal. And those are easy ones to point out because we know that he's going to be outside and we know that Cooper Kupp's going to be in the slot.
I mean, I guess it too kind of depends on if Josh Reynolds can handle the other side of the field
you just cannot give up on Josh Reynolds, can you? You just can't quit the guy.
There's no reason to quit him yet.
He was more, we're getting a question here from Juarez, your problem for Orange Bloods. What was I saying? This is tilting me about Anthony Miller. What was I saying before I got thrown off by my Anthony Miller question here?
You were talking about Josh Reynolds.
He was a better college producer than Mike Evans. Isn't that just so hard to believe? That's crazy. He's more yeah, prolific college producer. Okay, Alex, you were super high on Anthony Miller a couple years ago. What happened? Trubisky, yes, and fucking Matt Nagy, a clown fucking clown show offense. Just the squirt gun. I mean, this thing is a clown shoes. What is Byron Bugs called? He calls it just the most cockamamie backass version of the great gimmicky version of the greatest show on turf anybody's ever seen. Tell Matt Nagy gets out of there. I don't know really what to say about it. With that being said, as long as we're talking about these wide receiver cornerback matchups, Anthony Miller, now that you ask Juarez, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the sixth best schedule for the opposing corners he'll face. He runs 77.5% of his snaps out of the slot.
Nick Foles is the quarterback.
Chicago slot receivers. Add in Nick Foles, big year for Anthony Miller. So, yeah, I don't hate Anthony Miller, and we're getting him. If you use the cheat sheet for the PPR leagues, you're going to get him. And I have not given up on Anthony Miller. I'm not going to give up on Anthony Miller. I feel about Anthony Miller like trash man feels about Josh Reynolds. Okay. Second to worst, N'Keal Harry. We already talked about him, but this thing's brutal. It's brutal at the start. It's brutal at the finish. He only really has two easy matchups in week 9 versus Pierre Desir and week 11 when what we could project is probably Gary and Conley with the Houston Texans. He could get Bradley Roby there. Other than that, it's a fucking murderer's row. The worst schedule in all of fantasy for wide receivers. Rashad Perriman, new New York Jets.
That's why you play the bass.
I should ask you for the drum roll, trash man. What do you think about Rashad Perriman before we get into your value picks here?
Do you still think he's the athletic specimen that he once was? I feel like Denzel Mims is the guy I'm excited about in that wide receiver core. As soon as he was drafted,
Denzel Mims, the 10th best schedule of anybody.
Because that's what I'm excited about for the Jets offense.
I think Rashad Perriman is going to at least start out getting the number one corner, right? And Denzel Mims will get the number two outside corner. And at least we can project it like that. He's not even on every snap, but maybe not even the majority. But this is about the plurality of snaps. This is about the opportunity to make plays, right? And so we know Jamison Crowder is going to get the slot corner, right? Or the Tyrann Mathieu or whoever, if it's not a corner, whoever's handling the slot. and Denzel Mims is going to get the number two. And do you know what that means? It means that in the times whenever, let's say, you know, Breshad Perriman is going to get Tre'Davious White twice, that means Denzel Mims is going to get Josh Norman twice, who sucks now. Right? Like, Josh, he's going to get Josh Norman twice.
My heaven mighty have fallen.
Yeah. I mean, he gets unproven guys. Like, he's going to get, you know, whenever Breshad Perriman is on Richard Sherman, Denzel Mims is going to be on Emmanuel Moseley, right? Whenever Patrick Peterson is on Breshad Perriman, Denzel Mims probably going to be on Robert Alford. Maybe he would be on, maybe Byron Murphy would be on him, but it would seem like since Byron Murphy plays on the slot, Byron Murphy would move inside to get on Jamison Crowder, especially at the beginning of the season. So maybe so he'll get Robert Alford. That's another super easy matchup. He'll get, you know, whenever Breshad Perriman's, do you know what? Breshad Perriman might not be faster than Denzel Mims. I keep forgetting that Denzel Mims ran sub 4.4. Perriman, though, you forget at the UCF Pro Day ran sub 4.3, which I don't know if we can always go by, but maybe Denzel Mims sees Byron Jones when they play Miami, but I think he'll see Xavien Howard, which is the easier matchup. These are just, I mean, whenever they play Cleveland in week 16, whenever the Jets play Cleveland in week 16, Breshad Perriman, we'll see Denzel Ward. Well, Denzel Mims will see Greedy. It's one of those that just fell. Like the Jets are if by the end of the season, the script flips to where people are like, shit, man, we need to start putting our good guy on Denzel Mims, then Denzel Mims will have a hard schedule. But it looks like at least from the very start, it's going to be Breshad Perriman with the shit end of the stick. Trash man. What you've been dying to talk about. You've been texting me all week. I don't even understand what this fucking topic is.
Champing at the bit. I think I do, maybe.
The topic is early values.
Early values. So I took this as players who you're going to get early in the drafts, but are going to still be able to provide value for you.
Who are they?
And so the first of these is Kenny Golladay. It's wide receiver 7 right now.
You're just all Kenny, in, man.
Led wide receivers in touchdowns last season with Matt Stafford only playing half the games. I mean, over 1,100 yards. I just think with Matt Stafford playing a full season, I think Kenny Golladay could be a top 3 wide receiver.
And no love at all for Marvin Jones.
I mean, there's some love there, but Kenny Golladay is the man there.
I'm not sure that that's the case. I mean, opposing teams don't always see that. I mean, I can get Marvin Jones at wide receiver 37. I have to spend, what did you say? I mean, his ADP, I'm not getting him very much, so I don't know the exact – it's like, what is it, 9, 8? Like, what is his ADP right now? Set. It's like, trash man, all the value's baked into it. He's wide receiver 8 right now.
If you get a top 3, maybe number 1 wide receiver out of it, I'd say that's value.
I'll give you 5-1 odds that there's absolutely no. I'll give you 5-1 odds that he's not wide receiver 1 in PPR next year.
Okay.
Do you want to take the deal?
Okay. Sure.
I'll write that down. What, like for 3 Jimmy John sandwiches? So I'd owe you 15 Jimmy John sandwiches.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So what did we say? 5-1. Golladay is wide receiver is the wide receiver 1, not a wide receiver 1, but the wide receiver 1 in PPR. Okay. I'm chalking up those Jimmy John sandwiches.
Half point PPR.
We said, all right, fine. I'll do half point PPR. So I'm just adding in my little crib sheet here. All right. Your next one.
Kenyon Drake.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. It's like fucking, this should just be called the Kenyon Drake. The Trash Man Talks About Kenyon Drake podcast.
Well, it's true. Can you dispute it?
It is true. No. He's an excellent value. You can argue to taking – there's an argument to taking Kenyon Drake like number 6 overall in PPR. There's a legit argument to it.
It's ADP is 24 right now. He's running back 11.
Is that an ADP? That's unbelievable. It's got to be a little higher than that, doesn't it? Let's see. Kenyon Drake. His ADP is not 24. Oh, in standard? You're looking at, okay. His ADP is 13 in PPR. Running back 8. So a little bit more valuable in PPR there, trash man. But I still think he's great value, right? He's great value.
Yes. Excellent value.
Michael Yeager's asking, oh, God, have we switch back to Jimmy John's? Oh, shit. I'm sorry, man. No. I'm just so used to using Jimmy John's sandwiches. But yes, no. We did officially switch to Jersey Mike's a while back. Those Jimmy John's
kids—they start sponsoring.
Those Jimmy John's kids are just too jerky. Too jerky. What do you? The fucking thing is, trash man, is that they do this jerky thing where if you order one of the Slims, like you just want a Slim, they won't just put mayonnaise or mustard on there for you. They make you take a packet of it.
Give you the packet,
which is more fucking expensive for the company.
Hey, do you want them touching your sandwiches? Do you want them touching your sandwiches more?
Never have, never will. Like I said, trash man. I was a man ahead of my time, slathering all this hand sanitizer on and worrying about people's germs. All right, you got any others?
All right, after him, Austin Ekeler.
He's not safe.
Hey, he was the fourth highest scoring running back in PPR in 2019.
He's not safe. You don't worry at all about Joshua Kelly? What a goat he is.
No. I didn't worry about – did you worry about Melvin Gordon with Austin Ekeler last season?
Yeah, I did.
And Ekeler came in as the fourth highest scoring running back in PPR formats, and you think Joshua Kelly's better than Melvin Gordon?